right. Welcome back to Live It Out, the podcast. As we pick back up, as we head into this fall, Tim.
Dave.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you. Did you have a good summer?
Yeah, I had an amazing summer.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell you about my summer. Did you? Did you have a good summer?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. What was special about your summer?
This is my new aha secret to a good summer, at least in the South, where school starts so early in the year.
Really early.
Yeah. Is go on a vacation early. Take a vacation early. Okay. So normally we do that like mid-July, late July, if we'd go someplace or I'd take a week off or something like that. And this year we did it like early mid-June.
And then in Minnesota.
Yeah, in Minnesota.
In the freezing cold.
Oh, it was freezing glorious. Cold, like lake. 65 degrees. Yeah. But then you get back and it's like, oh, I've had a full summer already, and you still have another month and a half before school kicks back in. So that was my realization. It's like, I gotta take some time off early mid June every year. And then summer feels long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wise.
Yeah.
And you went to, Albania.
And then in July, I went to Albania.
And what was that trip all
for
about?
About 10 days. We spent a week, small team from Two Rivers, spent a week with Albanians in Albania, but they're from Kosovo. And so Kosovar Albanians. And we spent a week helping a small local church put on a sort of a family camp. But the unusual thing about it is probably 3/4 of the people, not believers. They're at least culturally Muslim. And so it was really different teaching from John's gospel, singing worship songs together, and knowing most of these people are just coming with open minds and open hearts to hear, but they're not believers yet. So it was a cool experience.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And that's your job here, right?
To help people
around the world discover who Jesus is and follow him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. One of the things we want to be part of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making disciples here and there. It's beautiful. Hey, so as we head into this fall, one of the things that we're considering, the podcast has been a little bit of an experiment, but really using it as a daily discipleship guide supplement. And so as we do Live It Out each week, the podcast for this fall anyway is intended to be a supplement to maybe give some insight, maybe give there may be a particular day that we talk about or a particular spiritual practice that we talk about. And so we left off before we took a little break over the summer talking about how we use Live It Out on a personal kind of way. We talked about that with Aaron DeShazo.
That was fun.
That was a fun conversation. And as we head into this fall, we'll be talking more and more about how do we live it out? And so I don't know that I use Live It Out the same right now as I did 2 months ago.
Yeah.
In some ways. So that'll be interesting for us to talk about along the way. So as we jump in, let's talk a little bit about this concept of discipleship and a daily discipleship guide. And that word comes with a lot of baggage. Mm. So let's start there. We've called this, you know, a daily discipleship guide. What do we mean with this word discipleship?
Yeah, it does. And we've maybe talked a little bit about this. I feel like I talk about it a lot. It's in my title, my job, discipleship pastor. So I talk about it a lot. But the idea that people have a particular notion of what discipleship is. And I love when Aaron and Denise Birchfield, two of our missionaries in Berlin, that video that we showed, and it was an interview with them, a conversation with them. We showed maybe this spring, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And Denise made the comment, like, as they were becoming missionaries and getting ready to go there, or maybe first getting there, like this aha moment that she had, that discipleship, I think she said, is like, discipleship isn't a program from Lifeway.
No.
Wasn't that what did she say?
Not a program from Lifeway.
That's a great line to have in mind. It's not a program from Lifeway. Because I think that's for a lot of people, it's some kind of program that you work through and complete.
Yeah, it's a curriculum. Yeah. If I do the discipleship curriculum, then I will be a better Christian.
Yeah.
And that is not what we mean by discipleship. And so what do we mean by discipleship?
Yeah, yeah. We really, it describes the kind of relationship we have with Jesus. And so it's helpful for me to think about like the word friendship, the same suffix on it is it describes the kind of relationship you have with someone. Discipleship describes the kind of relationship we have with Jesus. It's about being a follower of Jesus. It's about being a disciple is an old word that is a more specific picture. It describes something more specific than just following, but we use following Jesus as a synonym for that. Really. We're talking about the same thing.
Yeah. And it's just because there's just not a good word in our culture today to have that relationship between the word is rabbi, and a member of a rabbi's traveling group. The Talmudim is the word. It's a group of disciples who are in a school who are trying to become like the teacher. There just isn't a good example in our world. We've talked a little bit so far, even this idea, as close as you might come to the concept of apprenticeship or an internship or in the medical world, a residency, even that falls down on many levels. And so I think we're better off just trying the best that we can to understand a biblical concept called a disciple.
Yeah.
Disciple. It's a follower of Jesus.
Yeah. They as Jesus' disciples, and any disciple of a rabbi would follow them, would go where they go, would watch them, would learn from them, would listen to them, would watch what they do, and then would begin to do those things with them, alongside them, speak the things they're speaking, doing the things they're doing. So it's not just about learning from them. It's about learning to do what they do, to know what they know so that you can do what they do. Those kinds of things kind of set it apart from just what we would think of as a teacher-student relationship.
All right. So that kind of sets us up. And I think as we go along, we'll have each week we'll have a different kind of opportunity to talk a little bit about following Jesus as disciples. This fall, we're rolling out a pathway, a discipleship pathway, and we're calling it a freeway, and we'll have an opportunity to talk more and more about lanes and what lane we're running in and all those kinds of things as we go along. But this week, we kicked off a new series this weekend, talking our way through or teaching our way through Paul's letter to the church that we call Philippians.
Yeah.
And in that letter, really the theme that we're talking about is living a grateful life. And so the series is called The Grateful Life. And that's the theme that we're kind of themed this whole letter around as Paul is deeply rooted in the gospel, his gratitude for the followers of Jesus that he's writing to. And this week we were talking about the big idea that true gratitude flows from our new life in Jesus. And so as you think about that, Tim, what's that mean to you? But as you think about, you know, putting this theme, this idea, true gratitude flows from our new life in Jesus, as you're walking into this week and you have a chance to think about a principle from scripture that true gratitude flows from our new life in Jesus. How does that work for you?
Yeah. You know, one of the things Mark talked about in his message is the idea that Paul isn't teaching the church at Philippi. He's not teaching them to be grateful. Gratitude is the tone that comes through in the whole letter. And that's why we titled the series that way. It just comes through in the tone of it. And that I guess that informs sort of for me, like the approach I want to have is it's not like, okay, I want to make sure I stop a certain number of times a day and express my gratitude to God. I should, but that's not the goal. My goal isn't to send enough, you know, texts or messages. And that's something we've got in Live It Out this week. But my goal isn't like, okay, I want to make sure I do enough of those. And that's not the end goal. I think those things will help me have an overarching sense of gratitude in my life that, and I think that's why this phrase is helpful, that flows out of the new life that I have in Jesus. So that's, I don't even remember what your question was, but that's part of it for me is that idea of like, I want this to be something, I want to do things that will help this flow out of me, not I want to do things that express gratitude so I know I've done them.
Right. Yeah. And that's the tension that we're always living in, right? Do I do this thing just so that I could have done this thing, or do I keep the goal in mind? In other words, why am I doing what I'm doing? And as we teach every week in Big Ideas, the goal isn't just like, okay, hey, I went to church on the weekend and they taught about this idea and I liked it or I didn't. It's more the idea, the reason that we keep talking about it through the week is it's something we should reflect upon.
Yeah.
The true gratitude flows from our new life in Jesus is something that I can reflect on even maybe on another day where it's not mentioned. But okay, well, wait a minute. It's not this idea that, hey, this is something I gotta fake it till I make it. Although there may be some days that I have to put in the effort to be grateful, right?
Yeah.
But it's not something that I'm just like, okay, I need to have an attitude of gratitude and then everything's going to be okay. It's more this idea of, wait, I'm a new creation in Christ. The gospel has power, as Mark reminded us this weekend, to not just save us, but to transform us.
Yeah.
It's the metamorphosis. It's the old becoming new. And out of that, my disposition should reflect that.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an attitude of my heart. And so maybe that's just something that as I was working my way through Philippians in preparation for this series that welled up within me. But my disposition, just how people see me, should be reflected in going, wow, that person is actually different because they know Jesus. And part of that will be not being known for seeing everything wrong and all the stuff that, you know, as Mark talked about this weekend, that isn't or whatever. It's more this idea of, wow, that person doesn't put a negative spin on everything.
Yeah.
Even the tough stuff of life isn't just glossed over.
Right.
But even in the tough stuff of life, there's a perspective rooted in the gospel, based on new life, that allows gratitude to come out.
Yes. That's the thing. When you read the way Paul writes in this letter, I just think it's inspiring. And I think real people that you actually will bump into, because you won't bump into Paul, but real people who are living that way, who their circumstances don't dominate their outlook, their hopefulness, you know, that's inspiring. If they're in touch with reality, Paul seems to be in touch with reality. We know people like that, you know, who they live with a grateful life in spite of And in addition to, you know, alongside everything that's going on around them, they don't pretend that those things aren't there. When I see that, that's inspiring. And I go, yeah, I want to live that kind of way. And so I kind of hope that as people are going through Live It Out this week and working through this passage and the other ones that are in there, I hope they'll have that approach of like, I want to be that kind of person, not just, how can I learn to be, I don't know, to me, there's a difference of like, how can I become that kind of person from what can I learn about how to be grateful from this passage? They're similar, but they're not the same thing. And I hope people will come at it that way.
Yeah, I hope so too. That it's, the tension is always, am I taking scripture and turning it into a, it's overly cliche, but am I simply turning this into a checklist of stuff to do? Is it just a checklist? And so sometimes people with an aversion to effort in growing, right, that they're putting any kind of effort into their spiritual growth, will push back against anything that has any scent of effort. Like, wait, this is, you know, like they're just waiting for God to do it out of nowhere. And there's this partnership that we have. I don't know if that's the exact technical term that I'm looking for, but a partnership that we have with the Holy Spirit in this pursuit of following Jesus, that's allowing the Holy Spirit to take these spiritual practices that Live It Out is all about, engaging in reading scripture, which we'll talk about different ways to read scripture throughout the coming weeks, prayer, and there's different ways to pray, fasting, there's different ways to fast, all these spiritual practices, with the goal not ever being that I would engage in a spiritual practice so that I can say that I did a spiritual practice, but because it makes fertile ground for the Holy Spirit to do work.
Yeah.
To bring about recognition where I may be out of alignment, and to bring those things into alignment. And then something I think we really don't think of when it comes to spiritual practices, even giving ourselves the space for the Holy Spirit to bring encouragement. That there may be
like something positive, you mean?
Yes. like he's actually going to give us encouragement in areas where he's seeing us make progress.
Yeah.
And we don't always have to be about beating ourselves up and going, oh, I failed here and I didn't do that. But giving ourselves the space for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that may even be encouraging us along the way.
Yeah.
So as we take a look at this week, one of the things that we're going to do on Wednesday is we're going to meditate upon a psalm. So, Tim, when we say meditate upon a psalm, what are we talking about?
You know, we do this every once in a while. We don't always put the word meditate on it. Sometimes we'll say, listen to the psalm three times or something like that. We're kind of really getting after the same thing, though. Well, sometimes we're working through a book of the Bible, and somewhere in the middle of the week, we'll throw in a psalm. And it really is, the psalms lend themselves to meditation. It's not the only scripture you can meditate on, but they do kind of lend themselves to that. And for me, it means, one, I'm going to need to take it in a number of times. So listen to it a few times, read it a few times. But it's also like what I'm doing with it as it's coming into my brain, either reading it or listening to it. It's like I don't want to just pull it apart and look for answers or what do these sentences mean? You know,
Or even application.
Like, yeah.
Okay, what do I have to do? Okay, this is what this text says. So what do I have to do?
Right.
That's not meditation.
Right.
That's a different valuable skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like paying attention to, okay, what is this stirring up in me? What does it do? What does it do in my mind and in my heart? What does it make me think of? I want to like pay attention to that kind of stuff as those words pass through my mind. Just being open to that passage or that psalm as a whole, and what it's communicating to me beyond just what am I going to do about it?
Right.
Yeah.
So when it comes to a day where we prescribe meditating on it, and this is a word we could use once again, doesn't mean we're going to do it every week, but as we introduce concepts, then as we move forward as a community of faith, we should be able to talk about meditation and building a skill of meditation where we don't have to redefine it every time. But we're talking about allowing the scripture to be in our minds and to think about and to contemplate and to reflect on. And so that means with a psalm like Psalm 136, you don't necessarily have to meditate upon the whole psalm. And so I think we can just give a technique. Once again, you could do this multiple different ways, but one of the ways that you might consider meditating upon this script, upon this text, sorry, is that you would first of all, maybe just go through the whole thing. Just read the text and maybe even consider having it read as you read it or reading it out loud. And then going back a second time and maybe just picking a shorter group of the text where maybe you're just going to focus in on a certain portion. And it doesn't have to be the first portion of scripture. It may be something that as you read through scripture, it kind of gained your attention as you went along. And now you can go back and you're going to slow down the way that you read it. Mm-hmm. You're going to think about it. As you read it, you're going to contemplate on it. It's okay to ask the Holy Spirit questions about it. It's maybe not about what you're going to do, but doesn't mean that you can't ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, like, what are you teaching me? What do you want me to see about the nature of who God is? How do you want me to see God in light of this truth? How do you want this scripture to impact my attitude, my mm-hmm. disposition?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so as you go through this psalm in particular with this call response format that before we started recording this, we talked about would be a really cool thing to maybe do on the weekend in a worship environment, maybe not the whole thing, but a part of it, as there's this statement that reflects upon the nature of who Yahweh in particular, give thanks to Yahweh for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. It's just this continuous reminder that I can trust in the steadfast love of Yahweh. Yeah. I think that is the theme.
Yeah.
I can trust the steadfast love of Yahweh. And then it just goes through. And while it reminds us of that truth, it's going along and it's proclaiming God's story, and it's telling this is what he's done right along the way.
And you don't have to know who Og, king of Bashan, is.
No.
To understand what's being recounted and why it matters, and to hear God's story of what he's done. There's people who are grateful because he killed these kings who were out to kill them, you know?
Yeah.
They're grateful for that. Well, what I'm grateful for is going to be a little different than that.
Right.
But I don't have to parse all that out.
No.
Who this person is, what happened there, when did that happen?
Yeah. In fact, it might be effective if you just had a little notepad next to you and you're just like, you just write those things down and you forget about them.
Yeah.
And then if you're curious, then you can go back and you practice another spiritual practice called Bible study.
Yeah.
And then you can go back and you can build, you can build your biblical background later on, another time, yeah, another place, but just allowing that practice. And this really, I just want to encourage you, you know, you can do live it out whenever you want. Nobody wants to be told what to do, but it really is intended to be a day starter. As you look to your day, it really has been intended to be an opportunity to put you on a trajectory as you begin your day of following Jesus in tangible ways in your world.
Yeah. And you know, the, even as you, like, when people get to Wednesday and you meditate on that psalm, then the questions we have there, and this is often the case, the questions we have there aren't pulled from that psalm. It's not like look in this psalm to find the answer to these questions. But I hope, our hope is that as people have studied and engaged with Philippians chapter one, and then they come to this psalm and see another picture of gratitude, that those things together will, you know, as you answer those questions, they're going to get you thinking in another way, a different way, a deeper way.
Yeah. And you bring up I think an important point that we would make about it out is it's meant to be progressive through the week.
Yeah.
And so if you the more consistent you are, once again, no gold stars, we would ask you to be consistent. It's going to be more effective. The more it's going to make more sense, because it is a progressive approach. Wednesday is built upon the assumption that you have done Monday and Tuesday. If you haven't done Monday and Tuesday and you just pop in and do Wednesday, it's not going to seem like it makes sense.
Right.
But if I've done Monday and I've done Tuesday, by the time I come to Wednesday, I have the biblical material. I have the background for the Holy Spirit to do more work. I don't know how to say it other than that.
Yeah.
To have the questions be more significant than if I'm just popping in and popping out.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you have to go back and do all the days you missed. Just know that if you can, you know, the more consistent you can be, it's just going to help you. It's just going to help you as you go
through. Which ultimately is the goal. This is the thing, I think, for the goal isn't that you would do live it out. The goal is that you would be consistent in practicing spiritual practices.
Yeah.
Why, Tim, why is it important that we would be consistent? Even let's say I don't do live it out.
Yeah.
Why is it important that we would be consistent in spiritual practices?
I think it's largely because, like, God works most of the time, like, you know, to use whatever metaphor you want, but like a stream smoothing a rock, you know, like as it flows over and over hours and days and weeks and months and years and decades, it changes that. And I think it's not the only way that God works on us, but it's the way he works most often. I think probably because that's the way human beings tend to change, is slowly over time, things keep dripping and working away. And so that's why I think you can't go to a week of live it out or a day of live it out or one fast or one, you know, like practicing some spiritual way of engaging with God. You can't just try that once or twice and go, okay, it didn't do anything. It's just not the way people are, I don't think, because I don't think that's the way God usually works in them. So we need consistency, and God uses that.
Yeah, because the goal is that it's a daily discipleship journey, right? Like this idea that I'm following Jesus each and every day requires that I engage in spiritual practices each and every day. But that doesn't mean that I have to engage in those spiritual practices the exact same way every day.
Right.
Which is one of the things that we were trying to do with Live It Out, is that there would be, it doesn't engage scripture even the same every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. You know, we come to Fridays and we're asking people to look at big picture. It's one of the often, I believe, overlooked parts of scripture is we zoom in that we end up missing the point. We zoom into the point that we end up missing the point.
Yeah.
And keeping the big picture always before us helps us really understand. And so as we come to Fridays, those are about big picture.
Yeah. Right? So Friday this week, we're listening to reading through the whole letter. And I think a great thing about that is you'll see that, you know, that this chapter one and that tone that Paul has, it carries all throughout the letter, you know?
Yeah.
But you don't see that unless you read the whole letter. You listen to the whole letter. Yeah.
and like the Live It Out before we started this series, we put in there, hey, if you want to be prepared for the weekend, even the idea, like I can watch a video from the Bible Project as I prepare to engage in worship on a weekend. And that's something I don't know that I've given much thought, honestly, in my life, of how do I prepare myself to worship?
Yeah. I know it's not something I naturally do. I don't know. Churches like ours, people like, it's just not the way we really approach coming together for worship. But to have that mindset, I think is a game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our encouragement, Tim, we're going back to, we just had a little short run in doing this Live It Out podcast so far. But during that short run, we've already developed a tradition.
Yeah.
And you know what's coming.
I know
the last word. The last word, Tim Bubar.
So I maybe at least thought about that before we started.
That's awesome.
But this is the thing. We haven't said this exactly today, but I think we've said it other times. Is our encouragement is start your day with this, but make it last all day. Find a way to make this conversation with God, engagement with His Word, listening to His Spirit. Find little ways to experiment with to make it last all day. Don't get hung up on any one day. Don't get hung up on any one morning. But just let that conversation continue throughout the day and throughout the week. That's what this guide is supposed to help you do. It can't do it for you, but it's supposed to help you do that. So find ways to maximize that. And I think that's the best way to use it, get the most out of it.
Yeah, I think that's dead on. I think it's dead on that, as we think about this week, how do we take this principle, true gratitude flows from our new life in Jesus, and put that into motion?
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. All right, have a great week.